This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
I found my thrill on Blueberry Hill. On Blueberry Hill. On Blueberry Hill, it lingered until my dream came true.
Oh yeah, Fats Domino, I can never, ever, ever get tired. Fats Domino. He's a good one. Always will be. Good morning and welcome to Freedom Works, the Paul Molloy Show. I am Paul Molloy, and along with my buddy and cohort, Big Ed Davis, we thank you very much for being with us. It is Monday, April 26th. We're getting into May. We're going to be talking in a few minutes with Vincent Vernuccio, by the way. He is with the Mackinac Center for Public Policy. And we're going to talk about a Florida bill. It's backed by Governor Ron DeSantis, giving workers a bigger say when it comes to union activity in their workplace. Should they have more to say about it? Okay. We're going to talk about all of that with him. Stay tuned. And Texas and Florida, with their open for business philosophy, are now reporting fewer virus cases than Democratic-led states like New York, Michigan, and Pennsylvania, where they've been closing things tightly, have they not? Well, we're going to talk about this, and we're going to talk about a few other things, Biden and Kamala Harris and a few others, with the proprietor of the barber pole himself, Andrew Ceresi, a little bit later in the show. And look up in the sky. There really are UFOs. There really are UFOs swarming around. I can't believe it. I can't believe I'm saying that, but it's true, and we're going to take a look. So stay tuned for that as well. And in our ultimate top 10, we have a very, very good one. The top 10 fastest growing cities in the last decade. What do you think they are? Stay tuned for that as well. By the way, Freedom Works, we are sponsored in part by the best barbershop for men in Tampa Bay, Andrew's Master Barbershop, located in Dunedin. It's located on Overcash Drive, just north of State Road 580 Main Street. It's in the Overcash Plaza, just north. And I recommend it highly. I think it's the best place in Tampa Bay. Just call for reservations. They are open Tuesday through Saturday. Their phone number is 727-733-3773. And anyway, don't forget Good Morning America every Monday through Friday, 8 to 10 a.m. Good Morning Clearwater. I keep saying America. It's to America, but it's Good Morning Clearwater, Monday through Friday, 8 to 10 a.m. on the Tan Talk Radio Network with Paul and Tracy Allen. All right. Well, so just before I'm coming to work this morning, I get this, I'll call it a bulletin, maybe nobody else will. Federal taxes, federal spending, and the federal deficit are all at record highs. All of them. Taxes, spending, and the deficit for the first half year of 2021, the first fiscal half year. Now, fiscal half years are actually different than the regular calendar half years. But the last 6 months, the fiscal 2021, October through March, federal taxes climbed to a record $1.7 trillion. $1.7 trillion in that period, while federal spending climbed to $3.4 trillion. If my math is right, we have spent $1.7 trillion more than we've taken in. That does not work. It doesn't work in anybody's mathematics philosophy. The gap between the record federal tax collections and the spending resulted in a deficit, as we said, $1.7 trillion. When the October through March deficit numbers for previous years are adjusted for things like inflation, and you're using the Bureau of Labor Statistics for the calculation, the second highest deficit was in 2009. So that was 12 years ago. 12 years ago. So we must be doing something wrong. How can we take in $1.7 trillion, which is an incalculable amount in your mind? You cannot calculate it. You can't. And still be down $1.7 trillion. We are spending money we don't have. That's why. It just boggles my mind that nobody really cares about it. Nobody. They talk about it. One day, and of course we print money that has no backing. It's not like we have a gold reserve like we used to have. When we printed money, it was backed by gold until Nixon came along and we turned it into a Federal Reserve note. All that means is the Federal Reserve supposedly is handling the backing of our money. But it's not really being backed by anything other than a promissory note. That's that we will pay the bill when it comes due. That's all that really amounts to. Okay, now this is something that we're going to talk about maybe down the road as well. But you know, with all that rioting going on, that it seemed to be, you know, we've been concentrating on police apparently going after black people in the media, right? That's all we've been talking about recently. This is a big guilt trip now on the police. And by the way, police police in cities across the country, they're losing people. People are dropping out of the force. They're dropping out. We're not going to have enough policemen in these major cities. Portland's mayor has called for the residents to assist the authorities to unmask the members of the anarchist mob. Now, this is a Democratic mayor who, for the longest time, was praising the protests until they got to the point where every single night something was being broken down. So now he's saying we got to unmask these, quote, self-described anarchist mob who have engaged in acts of violence. They've extended the state of emergency in Portland through today, probably possibly extended again sometime, amid concerns about potential unrest following the trial of the policeman that sat on the neck of George Floyd, Derek Chauvin. Now, he was found guilty on all charges, and yet they're still rioting? Why? What? He was found guilty. Three guilties, the maximum. The guy's going to be in there for a long time. But Ted Wheeler, the mayor of Portland, says this: the city's beginning to recover, but self-described anarchists who engage in regular criminal destruction don't want things to open up to recover. Is he finally getting the religion? I mean, this has been going on in Minneapolis. Was it Seattle where they siphoned off like a full city block, took it over, right? Portland? Oh, my God. This is finally people are, well, you know, at some point when you've got smoldering areas in your city after night of violence, rioting, I guess you get some religion. Anyway, we are going to take our break. And when we come back, Vincent Fernuccio of the Mackinac Center.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Men, when it's time for your next haircut, if you don't visit Andrew's Master Barbershop, then you won't get the best haircut in Tampa Bay. First off, their staff consists of the best barbers you're going to find. They'll give you exactly the cut you want. Second, you won't find a better haircutting environment. Sparkling clean, modern, and comfortable. And third, the price. They beat any of those expensive hair salons, and seniors get a terrific discount. Andrew's Master Barbershop, it's located in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. That's on Overcash Drive, just north of State Road 580. It's open Tuesdays through Saturdays, and you just call for your appointment at 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773.
Yeah, hello everybody. We have a great new show coming up for you on Thursdays from 5 p.m. to 6 p.m. The show is called The Sounds Around Town. It will feature independent artists from our community. We will interview them and give them a chance to play their music on the radio. We will also feature some of the greats who already live in our community. So check us out every Thursday, The Sounds Around the Town, 5 to 6 p.m. on the Can Talk Radio Network, AM 1340, FM 106.1.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Hey, we are back on a Chamber of Commerce Day in Tampa Bay, by the way. Just beautiful weather out there. Delighted to have Vincent Vernuccio join us. He is a senior fellow at the Mackinac Center for Public Policy. And we're going to talk about a bill that is backed by Governor Ron DeSantis here in Florida, that basically will give workers in the workplace a little more say in union activity. Vincent, welcome to Freedom Works.
Hey, thanks for having me on.
Oh, you're welcome. Boy, you have a lot of energy. That's the kind of person we want. I want to...
well, these bills are energetic. They're empowering yes. Florida's public employees, and I'm really excited about it.
Excellent, excellent. Well, I'll tell you what. Governor Ron DeSantis, first of all, a lot of people are talking about the fact that he may have presidential ambitions. He may be the most popular governor in the country right now, but you know how things can turn on a dime. But he is pushing this bill, apparently, through the Florida Senate to give workers a little bit more say-so in the workplace when it comes to unions. Vince, would you tell us a little bit about the bill and maybe how it got started?
Sure. These bills, they're by Senator Baxley and Representative Byrd. They're going through both chambers. They're about to hit the House floor. It's got one more stop in the Senate committee. And they are about protecting union democracy and informing public employees about their rights. So the union democracy is really interesting, and this applies to most public employees, or will apply to most public employees, and simply says that, hey, if a union isn't representing a majority of public employees in a collective bargaining unit, there should be an election. And the public employees should have the right to, you know, vote that union out or bring a new one in or go without a union. I mean, shocking, right?
Indeed. I mean, one of the things that has been going on for quite a long time is that a lot of people that worked in unions or didn't want to be in a union were still forced to pay union dues. And that became a big issue, the kind of the forced worker union dues situation. I guess this... This shines a little bit of a light on that as well, right?
It does. So there was a big Supreme Court case in 2018 that said that everything that government unions do is political, and because it's political, public employees have a right not to pay. Now, those rights were already protected under Florida's right to work law, but the court case actually went further and said that in order to collect dues, unions need what the Supreme Court called evidence of affirmative consent. So, you know, getting away from kind of those wonky terms, it simply means that public employees need to opt into the union and they need to be informed of their rights. And that's another thing that this bill does. It says that, hey, you got a First Amendment right. You don't have to pay a union. If you want to pay the union, you're more than welcome to. But it's informing public employees of their right to join and pay or not, simply before the union takes money from them.
Now, unions...
It's a radical concept, right?
Yes, indeed. Now, unions, as we know, for the past quite a few years, have been losing membership. The right-to-work states are gaining. They kind of blossomed in the South. Now, a lot of them are seeping up to areas like Indiana, I believe Wisconsin, and a few other states have those things in place now. And so unions are, we've got a strong teachers union. That's still quite, from the way I see it, at least in the major cities, the unions have kind of a stranglehold on public schools. But in other areas, they're not quite as strong. So with these right-to-work states like Florida and these unions and the Amazons that are coming in and some of these other companies that are opening up, is there going to be a big clash between what unions are attempting to hold on to and what these companies are thinking that they can do? I mean, you still have a right to become a union domain in a company, right, here in Florida.
That's the thing. With right to work, with Janus, you can still form unions. Private, public sector, you can still pay unions. You can still be a union member. The only thing that it does is say that a union can't get a worker fired for not paying them.
Okay.
And that's what this bill is about. It's for most public employees, and it's simply informing them of their rights.
And Florida's not the only state that's thinking this way. Is Indiana going along with something similar?
Indiana actually just passed, that the governor, Governor Holcomb, just signed the bills on Friday, that it's not quite as ambitious as these Florida bills. Governor DeSantis still has the opportunity to pass one of the best public sector labor reform bills in the country. But Indiana did do part of this bill. They did the opt-in portion of informing public employees that they have the right to pay or not, and making sure that they have an annual opportunity to learn about those rights and to re-opt in.
Mm-hmm. Now, when do you think this legislation here in Florida, and I guess there's two bills going on, there's one in the Florida House, one in the Florida Senate, and apparently DeSantis will sign it immediately, but how long is it going to take to get this thing into operation?
You know, right now there is wide support for both of the bills. I think it's coming down to when a Senate committee hearing will be scheduled to make sure that the bills can go through that chamber. So that is up to President Simpson.
Okay, fair enough. So the Mackinac Center is backing these pieces of legislation. I have seen what I think can be the corrosive effects of unions when they come into a workplace. Initially, there was a good reason to group together because, and we all have read these things in our history books, at the turn of the 19th to the 20th century, the way that the workers were treated in certain jobs, whether they be, inside of cities or inside of a mine, working. And those unions were very, very necessary to protect. But it became something that started to actually affect the quality of the work. And I mean that almost in any industry. I think particularly right now in education, I think it can be seen that unions in many cases are an obstacle to quality teaching, not a help. And in so many cases, public schools do not seem, as an example, perform as well as maybe a private school that is not unionized. I wanted to get your thought just on what unions are actually doing to the quality of work, at this point in general.
Yeah, well, one of the things that, I would personally like to see is that every good teacher gets a raise.
Mm-hmm.
Now, unfortunately, what we're seeing with a lot of public sector collective bargaining agreements in particular and, unions in general, is they push for something called seniority. So the only way you get ahead under many union contracts is by logging another year on the job. Doesn't matter how hard you work. Doesn't matter how good you are. It's just, how many years have you been on the job? Okay. That's the only way you get a raise. So I think one of the main reasons why there is that kind of split between the union and the non-union is because they don't like things like merit pay. So rewarding the best and the brightest and the most productive under that collective bargaining agreement. And, you know, I think if they went down that route, you know, you could start to see some changes.
Right, right, right. We're talking with Vincent Vernuccio, who was a senior fellow at the Mackinac Center, and we're talking in general right now about unions. But a new bill here in Florida will give workers more of a say in union activity. You know, the thing is, and you mentioned a good point, protecting mediocrity is what I would say in many cases, right? Unions will protect people. They'll have a certain tenure. But it's harder to get rid of people that are not performing as they should. It becomes a barrier, which, you know, goes back to my saying the mediocrity that starts to come out of such a situation. But then again, you've got, and I wanted to get your thought on this, unions that protect firemen, unions that protect policemen. I mean, there's good and bad in those kinds of unions, right?
Well, I mean, I think with any organization, there's good and bad, exactly.
Right. So, this particular bill, though, is going to be probably sailing through. Is there much opposition that is coming here in Florida in particular? Have you heard much opposition? And if so, who are the organizations that are opposing it?
You know, as far as elected leaders, it has broad support, mostly among Republicans. Obviously, many Democrats aren't as keen on the bill. Many unions are not as keen on the bill, but workers support it. Public employees support it. The business community supports it. Many others, Americans for Prosperity, supports it. I actually authored, not on this bill specifically, but on the concept, a study for the James Madison Institute that said that, you know, this is the best way to advance protections for public employees across the state. So there is wide support for both of these bills. Essentially, what we're just waiting for is that last step in the Senate before it hits the floor.
Wow. Well, it's been a real pleasure, Vincent, talking with you about this. It looks like it's going to get through. It'll probably be another, what do you want to call it, a little medal on the lapel of Ron DeSantis. And if indeed he has presidential aspirations, things like this getting through will probably help him among conservatives and Republicans. So, Vincent, thank you so very much for being with us.
Hey, thanks for having me on. And, yeah, look forward to the governor's victory lap on this.
All right. Thank you. Vincent Vernuccio of the Mackinac Center. All right. We are going to take our break. And when we come back, Texas and Florida, with their open for business philosophy, they're actually reporting fewer pandemic cases than states like New York, Michigan, and Pennsylvania, all Democratic-led, right? And we're going to talk about this, a few other things, with the barber pole man himself, Andrew Cerasi. Searching for the latest style.
He didn't want someone to walk. This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Men, when it's time for your next haircut, if you don't visit Andrew's Master Barbershop, then you won't get the best haircut in Tampa Bay. First off, their staff consists of the best barbers you're going to find. They'll give you exactly the cut you want. Second, you won't find a better haircutting environment. Sparkling clean, modern, and comfortable. And third, the price. They beat any of those expensive hair salons, and seniors get a terrific discount. Andrew's Master Barbershop, it's located in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. That's on Overcash Drive, just north of State Road 580. It's open Tuesdays through Saturdays, and you just call for your appointment at 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773.
It's a beautiful morning. Hi, I'm Paul Allen.
And I'm Tracy Allen.
Please join us every weekday morning from 8 a.m. till 10 a.m. right here on the Tan Talk Radio Network.
You can also watch us on Facebook Live on our Good Morning Clearwater Facebook page and on YouTube. Just search Tan Talk Radio Network.
Every morning we'll be talking about current events, sports.
Yay, sports!
News, entertainment, weather, and traffic. Have an opinion? You can call us.
That's right. Join us every weekday morning, 8 a.m. till 10 a.m. on the Tan Talk Radio Network.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Hey, we are back on Freedom Works. And I just was reading this new story. It just came out. There's going to be some, with the census, California and New York are going to be among the states that are going to possibly lose some House seats because of the shift in population. Florida and Texas are going to gain some House seats. So that bodes well for Republicans, does it not? The U.S. Census Bureau will announce the results of the 2020 population count today. And Florida and Texas may get two or three seats, respectively. Florida getting two, Texas getting three. While states including California and New York expected to lose at least one seat each. And speaking about Texas and Florida, they are reporting fewer virus cases than Michigan, Pennsylvania, and New York, all of which are led by prominent Democrats who refuse to roll back the regulations. Now, what is going on there? Well, we got both of the Ceraci brothers with us. We've got Andrew here in Tampa Bay and Angelo up in Rochester. Angelo, how are things going with you?
Oh, very good, thank you. Weather's turning out nice lately, and things are going pretty good.
Good. And I'm sorry that you're in New York, where apparently things are more closed down than they are here in Florida, and it looks like fewer cases are going on down here. Do you think Governor Cuomo in your state is going to start becoming a little more open-minded when it comes to the businesses? By the way, is he still in hiding?
He's still in hiding, and I guess over 50% still want him to be governor. I don't get it.
Yeah, that's true. He, you know, it's a Democratic state, Angelo, and you know, they don't know, they don't have somebody. Is there anybody that might run against him in the Democratic primary that you know of?
Not that I know of. No, nobody is.
They're not even going to try?
No.
Oh, okay.
No, they stick together where we Republicans kind of squabble.
Yeah, a little bit. So, Andrew, here we are, and I know you've been a big proponent of keeping things open in this state, and Governor DeSantis has done so, and now apparently we're reaping the benefits of doing it. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, you know, Paul, it just amazes me how you're talking so positively about what's going on with the COVID, but yet on the news, they're still trying to scare the hell out of people. I mean, I just heard 10 minutes ago, oh, the COVID cases are rising. We're concerned. People aren't getting their shots. I think they need to have Hermann Göring on there to these people, because it's the same thing from 1930.
Good old Hermann Göring. That poor guy's name keeps coming up. The guy was a Nazi that worked for Hitler, of course, and was rounding up the troops and marching people left and right and setting regulations. And
That's what we got going on here, Paul.
Okay.
We're open. I'm sitting out by my pool. I was at the dentist this morning. I was running here. Everything is open, and our cases are all going down. Why don't they say that on the news, Paul? Why are they still trying to scare the people? What do they got up their sleeves?
I don't know.
This whole thing to me is more fraud than the Russian collusion, believe me.
One thing we're learning is that if you go outside, you're very, very unlikely to get anything. Because if you're outside with the weather and this and that, it seems to dissipate the virus. Yeah.
Let me ask you a question.
Sure.
If your car is running good, and you're driving all over the place, you're not having any problems. What if somebody came up and says, you know what? You need to put this oil additive in your car and try it and see how it works. I mean, it could blow the engine, but try it and see. What
In other words, leave well enough alone.
That's right.
Yeah. No, I think you're making a very good point. Now, I want to transfer over a little bit for both of you. I want to get your thoughts on it. There is a new Fox News poll, and by a 46 to 15% margin, voters say border security is worse today than it was 2 years ago. So finally, even some Democrats are getting the message that things are just falling apart on our southern border. Voters give Biden his worst job rating on border security and immigration by an 18-point margin, more disapprove, 52%, than approve of his border job, 34%. Angelo, I know you're not close to the border, but a lot of people that cross over that border illegally may end up in the state of New York. What are your thoughts on Biden's... Do you think people are starting to come to their senses in this country?
I would certainly hope so. I mean, they see what's going on. I mean, we're probably going to get some of them up here in New York State where Mr. Cuomo wants to give them $15,600.
Yeah, that should lure a bunch of them, right?
Yeah.
Why is he thinking that? What is his purpose in thinking that?
Along with the rest of the Democrats, they want to change the population in the country so that they can have votes.
So they think these people will come up and somehow vote for them if they hand out free money. Well, I mean, if I was an illegal, I think I'd think about it.
Well, their house rule number one is giving these people the right to vote.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that part of the package, that house rule number one they want to push?
Well, they're not supposed to give illegals the right to vote. That's not part of the thing that they can push.
They're pushing to make them citizens, aren't they?
They are trying to make citizens of a lot of these illegal immigrants. That is true. Yeah, that is true.
Enticing them coming up here with $15,600, you know, I'm sure that's a little character.
You think that the people in the state of New York would say, what are you, nuts? That's why I think that anybody that runs against Cuomo in a primary has a shot at unseating the guy, among other things.
Well, with all the scandals that he has had, with the deaths that they had in the nursing homes, you would think that, right?
Yeah.
But yet, they're loyal to him. They want him to stay in office. Well, that's why he hasn't budged. And you don't hear anything about it. The media hasn't said nothing about it. It's been buried.
Andrew, your buddy Kamala Harris, it's been 33 days without a news conference. Political insiders say there is a good reason she's avoiding the press and talking. She's got her sights on the presidency, and if she runs into trouble trying to resolve the border crisis, it could prove politically damaging. Now you understand why she's not talking to anybody. What do you think?
First of all, how much more could you damage her? she's a train wreck to begin with. You know, Paul, if the Democrats had a clue that the illegal immigrants would vote Republican, you'd see a 10-story high wall on that border.
That's true. Okay. It's absolutely true. It would be as high, if not higher, than what they're trying to build around the Capitol building.
No question about it, Paul.
Yeah.
Listen, this country's in a train wreck. Did you see Biden the other day? Yeah, he was at a meeting, and he forgot who called the meeting, and it was himself that called it. Okay?
Yes.
I mean, we know he's a train wreck. You see the guy walking. It looks like he's placing his feet because he doesn't know where they're going.
He looks older than 78 to me, if you want to know the truth.
Yeah, he's shy. He's a refried bean. He belongs in a nursing home. And it's like I tell people all the time, an airline pilot has to retire at 65 years old because they don't believe he's mentally and physically able to be responsible for 350 passengers on an airplane.
Yeah.
But yet, we've got, five or six 80-year-old people from our presidency to our Congress running this country?
Yeah. He's going to give a talk to a joint session of Congress now. It would be great if he would take some questions, but he's just going to talk and blather on. That is coming up. That should be a real treat for people. He's about the most boring speaker I've ever seen, by the way. He is so boring.
They need to turn the teleprompter toward the television cameras. This way the people can read it themselves.
Exactly.
It's easier to understand.
It would be easier to understand. He does get good marks. You know, his shying away from answering questions in some ways has helped him. And, of course, the fawning of the media helps him as well.
He did a 54% rating. Give me a break.
His best ratings, apparently, this is the Fox News poll, come on coronavirus, 58% approval with 34% disapproval. His marks are a bit lower on health care. His approval on health care, 48%, 37% disapprove. The economy, approval 48%, disapproval 42%. Foreign policy is very close. Approval 42%, disapproval 41%, and guns, he's underwater. Approval 36%, disapproval 49%. So what do you guys think? Angelo, is there a good shot at unseating this guy, and do you think it'll be Trump in two more years, or what about Ron DeSantis? And I should say in... well, almost two more years, three more years.
Well, if the Republicans take the Congress and the Senate, there's a good chance that maybe Trump or maybe Ron DeSantis would, Governor
yeah.
DeSantis would.
That's what I'm wondering. Do you think DeSantis would be more, what's the word, more not digestible, but more, you know, he wouldn't come with all of the negatives of Trump and maybe be a better candidate?
Well, you know, don't forget, Trump did get 75 million votes.
Mm-hmm.
And Make America Great is still strong. And I would love to see President Trump and Governor DeSantis as a team.
As a team?
Absolutely.
That would be a strong team. But they're both from Florida, and they always try to find, have you noticed, they always try to have, like, if the president... the guy running for president's from the East, maybe they'll go after somebody from the South or the West. Try to get people to vote.
That's the dream team.
Yeah. So, Andrew, I don't know. I'm sure DeSantis is giving this a lot of thought. We can't get inside his head. We just had somebody on in a discussion of this Florida bill to protect workers, give them more say-so in unionizing in their companies. But, you know, he's the golden boy right now, DeSantis. I think he would have a real shot.
There's no question about it, Paul. As a matter of fact, I think that Ron DeSantis is probably the most popular politician going in the country today.
You know, he might be, despite the way the press tries to find something wrong with him.
Oh, well, they're coming after Florida, Paul, because we're just doing too good.
Yeah.
They're all jealous. We're outside enjoying the sunshine. They're stuck in their houses. They can't move. I mean, will you tell me... why, even in Pinellas County, why these moron commissioners that we have here, I still have a mask mandate. Nobody's wearing them. I was at Clearwater Beach the other night. You see one or two people. I saw one idiot going by in a convertible with his gloves and a mask on with his top down. But other than that, nobody.
I don't see many people wandering around outside with masks on. Now, when we go inside stores, there's still a mask mandate generally, and that's understandable. But outside, the more we know, the more we realize your chances of catching the virus wandering around on the beach or taking a walk on the sidewalk, they're extremely low.
You know what really made me laugh, Paul? I went out to eat yesterday, and here we are in the restaurant. It's packed. People sitting next to each other at the tables, walking around, no mask on. Why do the poor employees still have it to wear?
I know.
It's ridiculous. Everybody's around them without them, and here they got to suffer with working and busy as can be with their mask on. I think we need to let the county commissioners walk around all day with their mask on.
I wonder if Biden will give his address to a joint session of Congress, and he'll wander up to the dais with his mask on before he takes it.
Just to
be hypocritical about it. Go ahead.
Did you see the idiot the other day? And all the world leaders, what do they call it, Skype or whatever?
Uh-huh.
They're all talking, there's like 30 of them. And an idiot sitting in front of his computer with a mask on and nobody else got him on.
I'm telling you, it's all for show.
It's ridiculous.
This guy is a nutcase, and the people that voted for him are nutcases, believe me.
Now, Angelo, I know that you probably have a little bit of a different viewpoint from your brother. When you wander down the street, would you wear a mask outside?
No, I don't.
Okay. But when you wander into a store, you'd put one on.
You have to wear a mask because they got signs on, no mask, no entry.
Yeah. Do you agree with that?
Well, you know, we've had 293 cases the other day, new cases, so I don't know. You know, I mean, the way I look at it, if you're vaccinated, why should you have to wear a mask?
You're vaccinated.
Because the vaccines aren't working either. You're an experiment.
Angelo, you've been vaccinated.
Yes.
May I ask which of the vaccines you took?
The Moderna.
Okay, so you got two shots?
Two shots.
Uh-huh. And you feeling good?
I've had no problems, none whatsoever.
You didn't have any adverse reaction to it
no,
at all?
Not a reaction at all. No.
Okay. And are you going to try to talk your brother into getting a shot?
He won't get one. Even if I said anything, he'll say, I'm not getting it. I have friends, too, that will not get it.
Oh, yeah. Most of the country still has not gotten it. I think it's about 40%. Ed, you might know better than me, but the last I saw was like 40, 45%, which I think is a goodly number. And Andrew, do you think we're going to approach where more than half this country will actually have the virus shot? What do you think?
Nope. I don't think so, Paul.
Okay.
Because the people who got one shot aren't even showing up for their second ones.
Well, what's holding you back, Andrew?
What's holding me back? I'm not going to be an experiment.
So
I'm not going to be an experiment, Ed.
Are you saying our government might be giving us some shoddy stuff?
That's right. I don't know what they're giving
you. Well, I got a problem with that, because the guy who got it for us and put it all together would be our guy Trump, wouldn't it?
He's the one, right?
He's the one that distributed it. He's the one that got it together. You don't.
I understand.
You don't trust Trump?
Even if Trump told me to get it, I wouldn't get it.
Okay. And a lot of people feel that way.
Would you put an experimental oil product in your car, as much as you love your car and it's running great, would you put this oil product in your car knowing that the engine might blow?
I know in my own case, I'm still kind of watching, because to me, if like in 6, 7, 8 months there's no reaction, I would feel more confident about getting it. But at first, I have been a little bit.
I'm just waiting on the one and done.
The Johnson. And yeah. It's going to be back now.
You can go get it today, Ed.
I can't get
it. They brought it back. You can get it today.
It's not that readily available. The other ones are available.
They got a schedule for Johnson & Johnson. I learned something. Did you know that the vials that these places get, like doctor's office, they come from, each vial has like six shots. So they group people like in groups of six and then say, okay, we're going to put you in this group, and then you will all show up on this particular day at this time.
No.
And they will, because, you know, that it only has a short shelf life.
Right.
Now, let me tell you this one, okay? Now, do you know that Pfizer is a lot tighter with the United States government than Johnson & Johnson is, don't you?
I did not know that.
Yes, they are.
Okay.
Okay?
Yeah.
All of a sudden, out of nowhere, the Johnson & Johnson had six people that had problems out of 8 million people, but it was all over the news.
Yeah, six women.
They intended to hurt Johnson & Johnson. They're putting all their money into Pfizer, because Pfizer's...
Oh!
Pfizer put up $300 million to lobby when President Trump was getting the price of the prescriptions down. They put $300 million up as lobby.
So Pfizer's trying to bring down Johnson & Johnson's success.
And I brought that up
right.
A week ago. I thought it was a bunch of malarkey.
Yeah, I think it's malarkey, too.
And anybody can post a photo on the internet and say, oh, this is what happened when I got the Johnson & Johnson shot.
But I mean, six women out of 6.7.
Why would you trust anything with all this below, or as Biden would say, malarkey going in?
Well, you know what? It's very interesting. And our discussion about this is exactly why we still have a lot of people that are reticent, you know, are worried a little bit about it. But gentlemen, thank you so very much. Appreciate it as always. Angelo, thanks so much, my friend. I will look forward to talking with you again soon. And Andrew, tomorrow again.
You got it, buddy. Have a good day.
All right. Thank you so much. The brothers Ceresi. All right, going to take our break. It'll be a short one, Ed. We'll take our break, and when we come back, among other things, those UFOs. They're real.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Men, when it's time for your next haircut, if you don't visit Andrew's Master Barbershop, then you won't get the best haircut in Tampa Bay. First off, their staff consists of the best barbers you're going to find. They'll give you exactly the cut you want. Second, you won't find a better haircutting environment. Sparkling clean, modern, and comfortable. And third, the price. They beat any of those expensive hair salons, and seniors get a terrific discount. Andrew's Master Barbershop, it's located in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. That's on Overcash Drive, just north of State Road 580. It's open Tuesdays through Saturdays, and you just call for your appointment at 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey, we are back on a Monday. And by the way, thanks to Ed, you don't have to listen to us live if he doesn't got to want to. You can listen to us on podcast because he puts all our shows on podcast. All you have to do is go to our website, ourfreedomworks.com. OurFreedomWorks.com, and punch that podcast button up at the top. Ed's got all our shows on display from the most recent back, and you'll see who the guest is that we have and our top 10. OurFreedomWorks.com. All right, well, I'm beginning to think there really are things up there that might be from another place, and I don't mean in this world. The U.S. government gearing up to share info about the reality of UFOs with the public. Former President Donald Trump's $2.3 trillion bill for 2021 contained a mandate that the Pentagon must file a report about what they call UAPs. It's unidentified aerial phenomena. We used to call them UFOs, but now they're called UAPs. It seems like they are coming to believe that some of those things that are up there are really possibly from another place.
Really?
Their abilities to move, stop, even they claim go underwater. They are really apparently they're becoming believers that there is something going on. What do you think, Ed? Do you believe it?
I'm going to go Biden on this one and call it malarkey.
You don't think so, huh?
I need proof.
What about some of the pictures you've seen? Pictures, they don't look real?
One, pictures can be altered. Two, these drones that we have can do anything now, for crying out loud.
But and they can't. But they can't stop on a dime and go that fast.
Why not? What if the film was stopped? Okay. And there are drones that'll land in the water.
What about these pilots that claim they've seen these things that are flying their planes? What do you think? Do you think they would? Do you think they're seeing things and believe it, or do you think that they might be just making it up?
No, I think maybe they're seeing things, but it's just not what it appears to be.
Mm-hmm. There is. Let me see who it is. If I can find their name, Elizondo. I guess this is a Pentagon spokesman. But I can't find the first name. During a press conference, Elizondo made clear that UFOs have been observed to have qualities that are nothing less than otherworldly. He described vessels flying at 11,000 miles per hour and being able to turn instantly. Providing a comparison, he explained, for our most advanced jets going at that same speed, if you wanted to make a right-hand turn, it would take half the state of Ohio to do it. Now, I mean,
is all this undetected on our all of our radar or what?
I don't know. This guy is the former head of the Advanced Aerospace Threat Identification Program. That which, by the way, operated out of the Pentagon building. I don't know.
What I worry more about?
What?
If this were true, what if they weren't what we always think? They're going to be come down and say, hello, how are you? Good to see you. Did you get your flu shot?
There are so many movies.
What if they're not friendly?
I know.
You know?
Yeah. I know. I mean, we've made science fiction. How many science fiction movies about this have they made?
Sure.
Right? friendly or not. Some are friendly, some are not friendly, right? E.T. was friendly.
And Tom Cruise made one about a species that goes to planet because they use up all the reserves and then...
War of the Worlds?
Yeah.
Yeah, sure. Yeah. It does make you think. I don't know what to believe. I do not. Anyway, it is time, Ed, for our top 10. We have a good one, I think, a real good one. And Ed, I want to see if you can come up with the city that is number one. These are the fastest growing cities in the past decade. And it comes from thedelight.com, all right? Past 10 years, fastest growing cities. So here we go, number 10. Midland, Texas. Mm-hmm. Midland, Texas. Once around the outskirts of the West Texas town of Midland, and you'll see iconic oil drilling rigs dotting the area. By the way, the site of former President George W.'s childhood home. Number 9. We stay in Texas. Sugar Land, Texas. Named for its rich history in the production of sugar, this Houston suburb has grown too sweet for movers to ignore. Once tied as the top city in America for population growth. Number 8. In Utah, South Jordan, Utah. No state saw its population grow by a higher percentage in the past 10 years than Utah and South Jordan. And South Jordan has been expanding right along with it. All right. Number 7. Mount Pleasant, South Carolina. You ever been there to Mount Pleasant, South Carolina?
No.
Okay. Not many of America's fastest growing cities are located along the Atlantic coast, but Mount Pleasant is at, this is an affluent Charleston suburb, nearly twice the median household income for the state of South Carolina. Number 6, Round Rock, Texas. I think that's where Round Rock beer must come from.
Could be.
You ever tasted Round Rock beer?
No.
Okay. Round Rock, it's located about 3 hours south of Frisco, Texas, which I don't know where Frisco, Texas is. But it's near the boomtown of Austin. Round Rock is another Texas suburb that is attracting tons of new residents.
I think, you know, a lot of people moving from the north, not only to Florida, I think they head to Texas.
Oh, yeah. Oh, Texas is big time.
Yeah.
Texas is huge with people moving in. And a lot of people from the west are moving into Texas as well. Okay, number 5. Speak of the devil, Frisco, Texas. While the entire state of Texas is seeing its population explode, this city just north of Dallas has seen the most dramatic growth in the entire state. From 2010 to 20, its population grew by 71%. Number 4. Enterprise, Nevada. If you travel just south of Las Vegas, you hit the neighboring city of Enterprise, and they're doing very well. Number 3, Meridian, Idaho. Money Magazine ranks Meridian at number 3 best place to live. Once a tiny Boise suburb. Number 2, Bend, Oregon. Have you ever been to Oregon at all?
No.
I haven't either. I'd like to go sometime. This city, Bend, just under 100,000 residents, located on the banks of the Deschutes River, more inland than most of the cities, surrounded by natural beauty. Population grew by 31% in the decade. Okay, Ed, here we go. What do you think's number one fastest growing city?
Let's go to, we haven't been there, let's say North Carolina somewhere.
Okay, all right.
No, wait, Tennessee.
Oh, that's a good guess, Tennessee. Fort Myers, Florida.
Ah, wow.
It's just down the road from us.
There we go.
It was ranked as the fastest growing city in America in a detailed study done by Wallet Hub that broke down trends including population and economic growth. Since it has fewer than 100,000 people, it's classified as a small city, but its population jumped nearly 32% in the past decade. Wow. There you go. Wow. We salute Fort Myers. All right. Thanks for being with us. We will be back tomorrow, Tuesday. Remember, freedom works. Restless night.